right? Very exciting. Okay, so my name is Rabbi Levy. And I'm going to be... So we're going to be talking about a new class called Self-Definition. And what it is it's basically something, a topic that I've researched myself because I had to do my own growth process in it. And so I'm giving it over to you. So it's usually not a class given over from men to women, and I was actually studied by a woman to know how to give this over correctly. So I think that has a certain power because you're hearing modesty from a man's perspective. It's woman's modesty, but it's also from a man's perspective as well. So it's probably a little different than what you've heard. Okay. First of all, when it comes to tzniut, when it comes to modesty of a woman, are you cold?
No, you're not cold.
Okay, you're making me nervous. Okay. So, when we think of the topic of tzniut, when we think of the topic of modesty for women, so we all think of the reason women have to dress modest is like I thought, right? And the way I was trained, not trained, but the way I had perceived that the reason women have to dress modest is because if not, they are making men sin, right? If a woman doesn't dress modest, then she's making man sin. She's dressed in a certain fashion, and or in a fashionable way. And why are you pointing towards Melissa? And then, and I know she's just like in that mean mode, you know. Like on the so we feel that the women have to dress modestly because of the fact that it's, you know, otherwise they're making men sin, or it's all about the man's perceptive, you know, how he's going to perceive the woman. And therefore, she has to dress modest. She has to cover herself, socks, dresses, you know, collarbone, and the whole bit. And that's not true. I grew up for many years of my life thinking that that was the reason. And then at one point, when I started doing fellowships, girls would ask me for, you know, modesty questions. And I used to get cornered and back into the wall. And I would be like, okay, I got to really find out the scoop about this. That's what happens when you teach. You get cornered. You have to know the real scoop, you know? So I sat down and I researched, and it cost me a lot of money. So I had to pay people to teach me these type of topics, you know? You have to study from a woman, and you can't just study from... And it took me like a lot of time until I was able to really understand what it's all about, okay? So that's a misconception that we have, that modesty is because of men. And the truth is that the reason I can say it's a misconception is because there are many modesty laws that apply to women that have nothing to do with men. Meaning, even if there are no men around, there's a concept of modesty for women. Okay, I'll give an example. When it's just women around, right, in let's say a dorm room or something like that, there's still a concept of a woman dressing respectively. So there's no men around seeing you. So why do you have to dress in that fashion? Right? There's also a concept of modesty between the husband and wife, of a certain dress fashion. There's also, and another very strong point, is that there's also concepts of modesty when between men. There's certain ways that men should dress and act and talk amongst men. So then obviously it's not what the woman is going to do to the man, because then it has nothing to do between men. Is that clear? Does anybody have any questions about that? Yeah. There are three ways of, if you wanted to define yourself, I can think of three things about yourself that you would be able to define yourself in three fashions. There are three things about yourself that you would want to define yourself. One of them is your appearance and your looks, right? Wow, she is so pretty. She's so hot. Wow, that guy is so handsome, right? Talking to all of you. Okay, that's one way. Your appearance, your looks, she's beautiful, she's pretty, she's attractive. And the male is similar, right? What's another way of describing yourself, of describing who you are? Your person, okay. There's one part of it is the way your appearance, your looks, meaning the external factors of who you are. Right? If I want to describe who you are, it would be accurate for me to say, right, that Lauren has black hair. Isn't that an accurate way of describing her, right? And Lauren and Julie also, well, black or brown or whatever.
Brown.
Yeah. Okay, so one way of describing yourself is simply by having just the way that, you know, your appearance, your looks. Another way that you can describe yourself is also by your accomplishments. Right? This is how you can define yourself. Meaning, I am a lawyer. I am a doctor. I am a college grad. Right? There's another way of that you can define yourself. Okay? So one way that you can define yourself is by your looks. Another way that you can define yourself is by your accomplishments in life. You have, you know, in America we have the little doctor license plate. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little doctor's license plate. That would be cool if we had the little like license plate that said like, you know, brown eyes. Brown eyes passing by. You know, something like that. Hazel. That's the second way of defining yourself. And what's the third way of defining yourself? Your looks, your accomplishments, and then there's your soul. Now what is your soul? This is part that we really have to understand. The soul is the part of you that... What? You guys all looking for tissues already? A pen? The soul is the part of you that is resemblance towards God. It said that God made us similar to Him. Right? Right, Alex? It says that we were created in God's image. Now, what does that mean that we were created in God's image? That God has a big nose like the Jewish people do? Because God is like, what, 6'1"? Like, how does that work? That we were created in God's image. What do you think? Okay, it's not physical. Why can it not be physical? Because if God is not physical, but it says we were created in His image, so what image is that? We are in His image. What about me is like Him? What about my soul is like His? Okay, but what's His image? What's the image that we have? The image that we have is that just as God gives, God is a giving being, we are a giving beings, and that's how we're similar to Him. We have the power to give, to create, to do, to have children, right? To support. That is what's similar between us and God. Okay? That's what's similar. That spiritual side of us, it's an internal, it's a very deep internal side. And even though we have a bunch of, you know, you on the group that are good friends, there's still parts of you that are internal that your friends don't know. That part is the part that's similar to God. You know? There's a part of you that's only going to come out when you have children that you didn't even know about. There's a part of you that's only going to come out when you get married that your friends can't see. Right? So there's that is when you want to talk about the real you, okay? That's the real internal you. For example, if I was to ask you, any of you, Shira, stand up. Oh, you're writing? You're busy writing?
No.
Want to catch up? Point to yourself for a second. Dolores, stand up. Point to yourself for a second. At least have a point to yourself for a second. No. Yeah. Okay, drop the phone. That's like so queen, you know? Okay. Point to yourself for a second. Let me ask you a question. Is this an accurate statement? Am I pointing to myself now?
Yeah.
Am I? Wait, I'm not pointing to myself?
Wow.
I am. Why is everyone pointing to their heart?
I'm pointing to my
you
body.
Were before, and then when I said nose, you went up. Yeah, you could say. Meaning, there is a certain part, when we want to talk about what our essence is, it's really connected to the part of us that gives. It's our heart. No, when I ask you to point to yourself, you can go like this too. You know? Is that not you? If I touch you over here, will you be like, no, you're not touching me. That's just my foot. That's you just as much as anything else. Why over here? Because this is who we are. Our internal is our heart, our giving aspect of us. The caring part of us is what is our connection of our being. And that's how we relate ourselves to God. Okay? So there's three parts of us. There is our appearance, our looks. Okay? And there's our accomplishments. This is my son, the doctor. Right? This is my son, the doctor. The doctor, the doctor, right? Well, my mother never said that about me. Two reasons. A, it was never her daughter, her daughter. And B, it was the doctor. But it's like when I call America and I speak to my parents. Right? It's so funny how my parents, like, and they're in the middle of something, they're like, my son from Israel is calling, I'm busy, just a minute, you know? It's like a statement, you know? Son from Israel. Okay, so we have our appearance, our accomplishments, and then there's the internal part of us that's who we would like to think is more similar to God. That's the image that we're talking about. Okay? Now, this is a question I want you to answer. Okay? Very important. What happens if a girl defines herself, or if a person defines himself by his appearance. If you define who you are by your appearance, what are the ramifications, good and bad? You hear the question? Alex, you hear the question?
Yeah.
There's three parts of you. What would be if you define yourself by your appearance? By the way you look? Good question, no? I think it's a good question.
Well, your looks are always changing. They change over time. So if that's how you define yourself, then your self-definition will always be constantly changing. And maybe it could be changing for the better, but it's always changing for the worse because it's not going to be stable.
Okay, so you're not going to be stable, right? You're defining yourself by your looks. You're not going to be stable, that's true. Meaning you define yourself by who you are, right? That's how your definition, and that's something that changes all the time. That's true. You're obsessed with the way you look.
You're obsessed,
right?
Like, and you won't, like,
you won't go out of the house unless like you look like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Perfect
really
GQ, like right out of the house,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
And I like, it's also like,
it's not
oh my
exactly
God, how
right.
Do I look? Guys, how do I look? Tell me how I look.
More. Meaning when a woman defines herself solely by her looks, right, then what happens is, like we said, when she starts to age or when she starts to progress, then she's going to feel like her own essence is gone. It's like, you know, she's going to start living. You ever see, for example, you'll probably see this, we'll talk about this more at length soon. You ever see like an older woman dressed like she's as if she's like 16 years old? I'm talking about she's wearing like super high heels and like she's wearing like she's wearing like her hair is like whoosh, like all over the place and like you know the and like her clothes are like six times too tight on everything, you know, and like showing everything that's, you know, humanly possible, and the makeup and the whole and like, you know, the earrings, and she's dressing as if she's not dressing what you would expect from a grandmother.
She's grandmother.
Right, she's dressing what you would expect from someone who is, you know, going through high school. Why? Because all her time she defined herself as her looks. Right? Her whole life she's been defining herself as her looks, as her appearance, and her looks is starting to drift away. Her looks is starting to drift away. So she's starting to lose herself. So she has to hold on to it. She'll stretch this part of her, and she'll stretch that part of her, and she'll make this smaller and that bigger. Everything just to be able to keep. Why is society so obsessed with being young? Because that's how they define themselves. That's how the society defines themselves. A girl, a good wife in a movie and a whatever, is someone who's immaculate. You know, she's got the rubber band, you know, stomach and figure and all that stuff and everything like that. That's who she is. That's how society defines a woman. So as soon as we start to drift from that, you feel like you're gone. Your essence is gone. Who you are is leaving you. Like that woman I was telling you with the operation, she felt as if she was ceasing to exist. That's what happens if you define yourself by your looks. That's one aspect that we're talking about. However, what happens if you define yourself, for example, by your accomplishments? I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, this is who I am.
If you're then always being, like, competing with everyone, like, always just trying to, like, brag about what you have and boast and act like you're higher than everyone else.
Right.
Be like, oh, well.
Very good. We come from communities that some of us are very affluent, right? And we see what happens when people define themselves by their materialism. It becomes like a whole society of like just showing off. You know, we even get grossed out about it. Like how much more, you know, how the houses, the cars, the clothes, the what are you doing, the vacations, all that stuff. And again, you know, you start getting wrapped up in either it's your looks or your accomplishments. Okay? Now what happens? What happens when you define yourself by who you really are, or the internal part of who you are? We haven't decided who you really are yet. There's three parts of you, but your internal. Then what happens? If you identify that, who am I? I'm this giving soul. That's who I really am. Everything else is just a way to give life to that giving soul. What happens if you identify yourself just as your internal, the giving soul? It's something that A, you're in control of. You're not in control of your looks and your accomplishments. You can make money, not make money, but sometimes it just doesn't go. And then your essence is like taken away. And then, in addition, if you define yourself, if you look at yourself and define yourself as your soul, your giving person, then you can always get better. The more life progresses, you get married, you have children, you have grandchildren, you're giving more. So you are actually improving, even though your looks and your accomplishments might not be. But who you are is actually getting better. So the way that you define yourself has a big effect on, you know, the productivity of your life and the happiness of your life. You might be the type of person that will always accomplish more. And you might be the type of person that will always get prettier as she gets older. Maybe. But one thing I can tell you for sure is that the internal side of you can and use within your power to constantly improve it. If I ask you,
so
Tina,
I ask
who you are. Who is you? You're sitting in a chair now. There's a lot there in the chair. There's shoes, there's clothes, there's flesh, there's a mind. Who is you? Who am I? Who is Chaim Levy? Is it the way I look? Is it my body? This part of me? Is it my accomplishments? Is that who I am? Or is there an inner part of me that is connected to God? That is me.
Personality
is a break off of your soul. It's a break off. Your soul, imagine it like a little bubble. And then the personality is sort of, you know, connected to it. Meaning your body. How would you go ahead and project that part? If you feel that that's who you are, and there are certain people who feel that that's who they are, how would you project that? Don't have to be specifically. I'm saying like, but obviously the physical part of you, right? Right? You want to project the physical part of you, show the physical part of you. If that's who you define yourself as you are, then that's what you're going to show. Because look, see, this is me. This is who I am. You want to see me? Here I am. Right here. All dressed in blue. Or whatever you want to wear it. Okay? If you want to project that you are, if I ask who is Tina, she is somebody that defines herself by her accomplishments, what will she project? Her accomplishments, her money. Her car, she'll drive around, she'll make sure to drive around in a nice car. She'll be emphatic about having a beautiful house, jewelry, showing like, when you see that person, you're like, whoa, that is an accomplished person. That is a rich, wealthy person. Because that's who they project themselves are. Okay, but I'm saying if they want to project that who they are is the money part of them, spoiled also means like their money part of them is their personality. So that's how they will project, okay? Yes, but the question is what, when you want to make something stand out, right? What's going to be standing out of you? If you want to project that, when I see you, I want to see your accomplishments, so your accomplishments are going to stand out. You're going to wear expensive clothing, and you're going to have beautiful jewelry, and your car, and your house. It's going to be like a whole scene. Of course you're going to, the rest of you.
No, but that's just looking good.
But it's not just looking good, because you can just look good simply, and there's a basis, and then there's just not just looking good. It's like looking killer all the time. And everything about you is like meticulous. We understand that. And your house has to look like a Hollywood house, and your car has to be exact. And, right? Okay? Alright, very good. If I want to project the soul part of me, how do I do that? If I want to project that, who am I? I'm this image of God. Alex, how would I do that?
Pray.
No, praying is not going to project to others that my essence is godliness. Praying will make me godliness. But if you want to look at me, right? And you want to say, okay, let's try and figure this guy out. Okay, so if I'm wearing, like, you know, I don't even know what's good shoes. What?
Adidas.
I mean, that was 80s.
Sorry.
This is so, like, not 80s anymore. Come on, what's good shoes? I remember the
shoes.
Ghana?
Prada.
Piranha, like the fish?
Prada.
Prada.
Sorry, these are hush puppies. Prada. I'm wearing Prada shoes and Armani suit. And no, that's gotta be something. It's still worth something these days, right? And I don't even know what kind of shirt. And whatever shirt, okay? Like, you could tell, like, the cufflinks, the whole thing. That means when you see somebody like that, then he's trying to project his accomplishments. If I want to project my body, so what would I, as a man, wear? A t-shirt, pair of jeans, right, with my wallet in the back, right? The t-shirt's going to be exactly fitting with my pants, so like, every time I just go like that, the t-shirt's like, oops! Ha! Look at that, I have a tan on my belly button. Wow, wonder how that happened. Right, if I just go like that, walk around like this all day, I see how people like walking down, pulling their shirts up and down all over, like pulling it, like Marty should buy a bigger sign. No, I gotta walk around, like you walk around and pulling it, So that's who I want to project, right? Okay, if a person's about, you see guys when they start working out, you brothers when they started working out at age like 16, right? Their clothes start shrinking, and their shirts will start becoming, why are you wearing a shirt up to there? No, it's hot. It's hot, it's December. In New York, what are you talking about? Because that's who they want to project. That's right now how they define themselves. If I want to project myself as a godly person, as a spiritual person, so I'm going to show the spiritual part of me, which is what? Which is my face, which is my hands, the parts that are giving, right? I'm going to show less of this, because when you look at me, I want you to see spirituality. Now, yeah.
I think you can dress anywhere you want.
No, be open. It's alright.
Stop. No, not specific with pants. I'm saying just in general. Like, you could dress any way you want and still be spiritually and have a good soul and be giving. Do you understand? Like, just because I wear pants or just because, not me, whatever, just because someone wears pants, but if you're a bad person, you can't talk to them. They give just as much.
Who agrees with her? Raise your hand if you agree with her.
You're gonna raise your hand.
Just raise your hand. I agree with you too. We're not talking about whether you're a good or bad person. We're talking about how you're projecting yourself to others.
So if other people don't want to see,
no, you can come in.
If other people don't want to see that, then they're not good enough. Then they could.
That's not true. Because
yes,
that's not true. I'll show you in a second. It's not true. I'll show you in a second because you also judge other people like that. And I'll show you in a second. You, Be'ezat Hashem, get married, have a family, have a great daughter. She brings home, right, a guy who's going to wear like an Iron Maiden shirt. He's going to have an earring over here. A sideways hat. His pants are going to look like he's wearing diapers. You know what I'm talking about? Like with the pants, they go like down to here. Right, he's walking like this. Sneakers, handkerchief on his hands. It's going to smell like smoke. And how hard is it going to be for her to convince you that he's really an intellectual? Answer the question. And what's going to be your first impression of him?
Okay,
it's going to be like, oh wow, this is exactly what I was thinking when I was thinking marriage. Hey, wait, just answer my question. Why?
Because
he looks like a criminal, right? One second. I gave you a chance. Now give me a chance. Meaning what? We're all affected by external. It's human. That's the way we are. When you see a person dressed in a certain fashion, you can assume that that's who they are. When you see a guy dressed in a certain fashion, you're like, right? When you see a guy who's dressed as a bodybuilder or wearing one of these cut whatever it's called, a gufia. How do you say gufia? Not a shirt. Like I don't like cornrows. An undershirt. You all know what I'm talking about. The tank top. He's wearing a tank top, right? What do you think? Like, he's like, it's all built and everything. He's got the whole look. He's got the long hair. Just came out of the, shower. His hair is all fixed up. He's got the perfect tan. And when you see him, you're like, whoa, what an intellectual. Is that what you think? No. Why? Because we're all affected by external. So you can't blame society or a person for looking at you external, not you, but looking at a woman externally and saying, okay, that's who she is. Is he right? No. Why? Because there could be a tremendous amount of depth and goodness to that person. But how is she projecting herself? Not as an intellectual. When a guy sees a beautiful girl who's dressed, when she's showing more than she's not showing, he's like, wow, what a soul. Hey, is that what he's saying? No. He's like, whoa, man. Dude. Right? Those are the words that come out of his mouth. So you can't blame him because that's what she's projecting.
Fine,
and it doesn't mean anything about her internals either. She could be a really giving and soul person and a good person, but that's not what she's projecting. No. I'm open. Don't pull the unintentional stuff on me. Slow down. She knows what she's showing, and she knows how she's walking, and she knows how she smells and looks, and she knows exactly when to go like this, and oh my gosh, she's got it like down pat, okay? The way you dress when you're like, you know, cooking for Pesach, helping your mom, is very different than you when you go out, you know what I'm saying? So don't say like, you know, I'm going to be open with you, but you have to be open with me. And not only that, a woman knows how to like, you know, yeah, I'll just take that size. Perfect. You know, oops. You know, she's got to like walk like this. You know what I'm saying? So she knows. No, it's true. I'm going to be open. You have to be open. You have to be intellectually honest with me. So now, is that who she is? Absolutely not. Have I met many, many, many guys and girls who don't look like what they dress? Absolutely. But is that what she's projecting? Is that what society, and that's how people look at her? Absolutely.
Well, what if you project a different side and you're not really that person?
Like what? Your side like this, you mean? If you're dressed like that, you're projecting. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm only in stage one. Oh my God, like six hands are going up. Okay, let's give Jackie a chance.
Okay, so just, I know we don't want to be like...
Right now we're just taking the first step forward, which is what others think of you when you dress. Okay, and you all have that, and we all have that, and don't assume otherwise, and let's be intellectually honest with ourselves. If you dress a certain way, or you see a guy dress a certain way, you're going to think something of him, right? Differently. Okay, that's stage one. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying it's not a valid point. We'll have to take it, it could bring us like to a whole, like another world, which I don't want to follow right now, okay? Okay, stage two. There's somebody named Irving Goffman. Yes. And he spoke about something called symbolic interactivism. Irving Goffman spoke about symbolic interactivism. What is that? That's a statement he made like this. Who am I? How do I define myself? And this is true if you think about it. I am who I think you think I am. I am who I think you think I am. Meaning, who am I? I am the way I look at myself is based on how I think that you look at me. Meaning, if I'm in a place, right, like for example, where people think I'm smart, I'll act smart. If I'm in a place where people think I'm funny, I'll act funny. Well, not even where people think, it's where I think that people think I'm funny. They might not even know I'm there. They might not even know anything about me, right? They might not know anything, but I think they do, then that's who I'll be. Okay? Everybody understand that? Meaning the way I perceive myself, and it's true, is not according to who I, my accomplishments or things like that, but it's what I think that you think about me. If I think that you think I'm smart, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut and speak smart things. If I think you think I'm annoying, so I'm going to be annoyed around you, even though you might not be thinking anything about me. Now what happens when a person defines themselves by their body, or they draw attention to their body, it creates a vicious cycle. Okay, what it creates is like this. First, she draws attention to her body. Okay, and then, obviously, if she's drawing attention to her body, what's going to happen? She's going to get attention to her body. Okay, you all know that. I've never had a guy whistle at me. I mean, I've had an LA in certain places, but like that was, I guess, not so regular. You know, that was kind of discomforting. Like, yeah. But you've had, you know, when you draw attention to your body, a man is going to give attention to your body, right? What happens after that? A certain part of you, right, as much as you think like, you know, he's a grind ball, but a certain part of you is like, hey, is he whistling at me? Is he looking at me? Like, yeah, he's a grind ball, whatever, but obviously he picked up on the fact that I'm beautiful, right? Right? It's true. I can only imagine. Like I said, I've never had a guy whistle at me except for when I was in LA. And, you know, I kind of felt like, hey, I am kind of cute in that black pants and black hat. Yeah, I know what you mean. You're not my type, though. You know? Right? But but that I'm not as tight.
but if someone gross whistles at you, I don't feel good about it.
So you might get grossed out. You might get grossed out from the guy that'll whistle at you, but you won't get grossed out from the guy that maybe is in your, you know, comfort range that you might be looking for and give you attention because of your body. If a guy that could be shayach to you, a guy that could pertain to you, gives you attention and thinks that you, and you know, show attention to your body especially, you'll receive gratitude from that. So the maybe not the, you know, the grind ball on the street who's whistling with all his friends and stuff like that, but definitely from the guy in the community, you know, who's paying attention to your body and is like, whoa man, that girl is. Point being, now what's wrong with that? Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that is, she'll start off with showing, you know, drawing attention to her body. She'll receive attention from her body, and then what happens is, and that's what's called ego gratifying. That's how, in a sense, you stroke your ego. How do you feel accomplished? How do you feel good about yourself? But you get used to showing attention to your body. And remember how we spoke about, you know, the old woman who sort of loses it? She's so used to that being her attention getter that what happens is that's the only way she knows how to get attention. And that's not even the point we're talking about. The point that really becomes detrimental is that she starts looking at herself as that. Why? Because again, the way that I think people perceive me is how I perceive myself. If the whole world sees you, right, as a rich, spoiled brat, at one point you're going to feel so frustrated with it, you're going to want to prove to people, like, I'm not a rich, spoiled brat like everyone thinks I am. I'm a normal person. You know what I mean? Why? Because the whole world looks at you that way and it enters into you. So if you're drawing attention to only your body, and that's the way your ego receives satisfaction, you're going to be hungry for it and be searching for it, you know, forever. That's the only way you're going to be able to be happy, because that's what you're used to happiness is. And that's how these, you know, that's how we find the whole society that's always trying to pull themselves towards being younger, because that's how they find gratification. So the first step we talked about is just external. How do people define me? How do people define me? People define me as, you know, A, B, and C. You know, my appearance, my accomplishments, my soul. Okay, that's not so bad. I could live with that. I'll find the right guy, and he won't define me as that. The second part is I start feeling that that's the only way I can get gratification. You know, and I've given this class before, and a girl raised her hand once, and I almost started crying. She's like, but yeah, but that's all that I have. That's all. A girl said this to me. She's like, my body is all that I have. She got so wrapped up in showing her body that she felt that this is all she has to offer. We have a whole society of girls that feel that they have to, like, you know, this is who I am, this is what I have, and this is what I have to show. And that's the dangerous part. The first part is external. So what? People look at me that way. Big deal. I'll have my close group of friends, I'll find the right guy. Which also itself is not a great thing, obviously. But the second thing is, I am who I think you think I am. Who am I? The way you look at me, right? In a certain extent, that's who I perceive myself as. And if people are only looking at my body, that's who I'm going to feel who I am. I'm not going to feel smart. I'm not going to feel intellectual. I'm not going to feel warm if everybody's looking at me as, you know, only as the body part of me. And like I said, we have this, like, whole older generation who's trying to pull towards youth, because that's how they define themselves. Okay. Someone shared with me a certain clip on Saturday Night Live. At Saturday Night Live, they had a clip of, like, this really, really bummy guy at, like, an entrance to a club. And these three girls walking into the club, and this, like, really, really bummy guy was, like, saying, like, all kinds of comments to two of the girls, and one of them he wasn't. Right, and she was like, "Hey, chiquita, na 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 na, whatever, you know, the whole bit." And the one girl was like going crazy, like, "Why is he not paying attention to me? Why is he not paying attention?" Because that's what happened. We have a society of used to, you know, this is the way I can make myself happy now. So I have to show more, give more, you know, act more, all these things, because this is who I am. So it changes our definition of who we are. So we're not talking about modesty or tzniut. It's not just about what the, you know, me keeping the guy safe and not having him sin and, like, see things in our... It's not about that. It's firstly about perception of you, and it's secondly about you. But secondly, a modest fashion of dress is how you're going to perceive yourself. You're going to look at yourself as a modest, as an internal person. You're going to have that self-confidence to say, this is who I am. I'm created in God's image. That's why I dress like this. You're not going to feel the need to show. You know? Any question?
Maybe like a comment.
Okay.
But sometimes when you dress in a certain way, like a more modest way, then you can feel pressure onto yourself to act in a certain way that's not who you are, maybe not at the moment, or never will be part of who you are, but like you'll feel, I don't know, I just feel like if you dress in a skirt, you have to act like you're
like
skirt,
a skirt.
You, like I should like pray 5 times a day instead of, like, I should do above and beyond.
Like,
that's not
true. No, she's like, okay. Hey, guys, comments to me. Okay, okay.
Like, I just feel like you end up putting pressure on yourself, and then you're liable, like, you just keep putting, and you're liable to pull completely off the work and go completely out of the
way. Okay, so it's a give and take in religion. We spoke today about all or nothing. You have to have the security and the confidence within yourself to say, this I'm doing, this I'm not.
But something's going hand in hand.
But it's a give and take. What would you rather gain? You have to sit down and think, what would I rather gain? Would I rather gain my perception others view at me? Would I rather gain the way I view myself, and thereby have to dress modestly? Or would I rather lose that, right? I won't dress modestly, but I'll gain a bunch of other things. So you have to sit down and think, what's more important to me? It's not going to be a walk in the park. I can only imagine, like I always say, you know, modesty for a woman is very difficult. You know? It's very difficult. It's a big challenge. I've never had to go through putting on a dress, and I most probably won't. You know? But it's a very big challenge, but it's a give and take. It's a give and take. What are you losing and what are you gaining? You know? You're not going to it's not going to be a stroll in the park. And secondly, it's not a bad thing to have something external affect your actions. It's okay to have a protection.
I was thinking about you, and I think everyone's just going to be wondering what everyone else is thinking.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying, and that's my exact point, is that because we're so much influenced by what other people think of us, right, it's important for us to make a statement within ourselves and to others who we really are.
True.
You all have your boundaries of how you dress, right? You all have your boundaries of how you dress. Why? Because you feel like up until here is like, this is not me. You know, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I am. So what I'm doing is I'm, in a sense, raising the bar and saying, I want you to define yourself as this to society and to yourself. Okay? Okay. Now, in a relationship as well, right, when you're dating, when you're married, when you push yourself, when you challenge others to see not your physical body, when you challenge others not to see your accomplishments, when you challenge others to see who you really are, and that guy goes for that part of you, right, what that does is it creates a relationship that's built on something internal. If your relationship, if the way you were able to hook the guy, right, is by specifically, right, how you look, and that's the external part of you that's standing out, then that's the part he's going to think of who you are. Right? The third part we're talking about is once that's gone, okay, your relationship is also in danger. And that's why we have such issues today. Why? Why are people doing things that are not appropriate? Because one second, I married this, and now I have this. So I'm going to go back for this. Why? Why did he marry that? Because that's who he saw he was getting. That's what attracted him first. That's who he understands who she is. That's the danger. But if you challenge someone, right? If you challenge someone, you challenge a guy to say, don't look at that. That also has to be there. But look at who I really am. You show who you really are. And only afterwards, once he's hooked, once he's totally fallen for you, do you reveal, you know, the appearance part of you, the touch and the looks and all that stuff. Then that relationship is something that can stay, that can adhere, because he's always in love, he's always wants who you really are, and that keeps getting better. Remember, who do we find? The three parts of you. There's your appearance, your accomplishments, and your giving aspect of you. If he loves you for your givingness, right, then that just keeps getting better. If he loves you for your looks, and that's how he's hooked, that's not going to improve necessarily. If he loves you for your accomplishments, that also has the capability of disappearing. But if he loves you because you're a giving person, and that's what he's really clinging on to, it happens to be that you're also beautiful, right? That's a healthy and strong relationship. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to marry someone that you find is handsome, or a guy is not supposed to marry somebody he feels is beautiful. You can. But the question is, what's he going after? What's he chasing? How did he get to you? Did he get to you because, you know, I was once in a... I all these things from trips. I get everything from trips. I'm like, I grew up in like this religious world. So, but I get everything from trips. I was on a trip once. We had a trip last winter. And we stopped by a mall. This is exactly what a guy said. And just imagine what would have been had he pursued it. We stopped by a mall. It was a kosher mall. The guys were walking around. One guy's like, Rabbi, I found my wife. Found your wife? Yeah, she's working in the jeans store. I'm like, what? Mama, she's where he's with. Like, oh my God, that is my wife. He wants to pull me over to see her. I'm like, no. I'm like, what makes her? She's so beautiful. And all the guy, he pulled like the whole trip to see who his wife was going to be. Right, guys. Honestly, this is what he said. This is what he said. Rabbi, I found her. What was it based on? Just the way she looked. That's it. You want somebody that's going to go like, is going to treat you like that? You don't know what he's thinking. That's what you want? You want somebody that's going to go after that part of you? So when that starts to evade, we're not always going to look 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, whatever it is. We're going to hit 35, 40 one time. And I am. Right? Right? It's so far, but it's there. Okay? And you know what? There are people that are always going to look 20. And our husbands, right, are going to have to compete with them. Or we're going to have to compete with them. Right? We're going to have to compete with them. And he's going to be around them all the time. But and if that's what he goes after, that's what he sees. And once it starts to disappear, he's going to be looking for something else. Right?
Did he talk to him?
Did I talk to him?
Did he talk to her?
He tried to. She laughed at him.
Yeah. Did you talk to him?
Yeah. He's an idiot.
So,
the reason there are guys, in a sense, it's nobody's perfect. Not the guys, not the girls. But that's what they project, so that's what they go after. You give the kid a candy, he's going to want it. That's it. So what I'm saying is, like, there are three parts of what we're saying is the concept of modesty. It's not just about the guys looking and not, you know, sin and all that stuff. It's first of all how others are going to look at you in the sense of, like, you know, what type of person you are, which is the less meaningful. The second part, which is already more powerful, is how you perceive yourself, because this is how you bring it out. The third thing is what's going to keep the relationship strong. If it's your relationship is based on that, then that's what you give. That's what he's going to look for all the time, and that's where things get rocky. So it's a miracle. Right, so you know, I think that you know, you don't want to find someone that's constantly going to be looking at you and judging your looks. You know, always comparing you to the wedding day, always comparing you to that time of your life. You want someone that's going to see the giving part of you and always fall more in love with it, because you're taking better care of his kids and of him, and you love him more. Because that's who we married. I know in our relationship with her, it happens to be my wife is beautiful. That's honest. But it happens to be the part that I love of her the most is how she's such a giving person. She's so, like, she treats me almost like, I don't know. She, like, looks to make me happy. How could I not love her? You know? But it's built on the giving. A phone conversation for us is like a powerful thing. Not built just on looks. Her looks didn't pop up until after we got married, so to speak. Okay? So, I'm not talking about the specifics, you know, of tzniut and modesty and whatnot. But I think it's very important just to define how we define ourselves in this class. And why, you know, modesty is really the best thing and for a woman. Why it's so, you know, it's so important for you to see that the Torah is out for your own benefit. It's not looking to close you up. It's looking to bring the real you out to yourself, to others, to your husband. That's the real modesty. And we all agree that, and we all see that that's really what modesty is all about. not just closing the woman up and saying, you dress like that, and because, you know, men are going to look at you. No, we want to bring out the real you. How are we going to do that? That's what tzniut comes in. That's where modesty comes in. It brings out the real person that's within you, to yourself and to others, to your husband, to your children, all that. Okay? All right. We'll stop here, and I'll be happy to take any questions. Yeah.
What's the name?